Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
As I was sitting over there, because one of the things I want to keep speaking about, and that's on my heart, is about worship and about being those that truly seek after Him and are torchbearers and are called to walk in the fullness of our creativity of what He's called us to be. And as I was sitting, I just began to think over and over. It's a known fact. It's a biblical reality. It's a known fact that a nation will move according to what they worship. A nation will move according to what they worship. They will prepare, they will prosper if they worship the King of Glory. If they don't, they won't. And that is a biblical reality, and it comes into view. It also affects each and every one of us. It affects our families, and it affects us individually. It's based upon who we're going to worship, and that we make sure that we do worship Him day in and day out. And I really want to hit this because it applies to families. It applies not only to a nation, but it applies to families and it applies to individuals. And I think so much is trying to get us away from being carriers of God's presence. And that's what I want to be. That's how I started. That's how I want to end. That's how I want to live all eternity, of being a person that's in His presence continuously. And so that's what we need to do. The building that we have, or any building that we're associated to, it doesn't carry God's presence. We carry God's presence. We're the ones that carry God's presence. We are the priests. And when we worship or we evangelize, when we go to speak to anybody, we're carrying the presence of the living God in our midst. In a conversation, we are. I just wanted to share that. I had to write that down. Amen. And of course, I think of our nation and I think of where we are. And if our nation, you know, we can pray and pray and pray and hope that things change, but the fact is this, that if our nation doesn't come back to a place of worshiping God, then things are going to happen in our nation that's going to shake us in a huge way. And that's why it's so very important. Each and every one of you in this room is called by God with a gift and a reason, and you are called to be a powerful force against the enemy and to speak forth truth and for His kingdom. And that's that release of power within you through the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you do not, listen, if you don't release what is in you and what God has called you to do, if you begin to sit back on it, you move away from it, then what's going to happen is you're going to start internalizing the spiritual realm around you that is not of God. Think about what I'm saying. If you're called to be a powerful force in the Lord, if God's created you with creativity to move forward in your calling and destiny, and you begin to sit back on it or lay away from it, then all of a sudden you're going to start taking on all the stuff that's around you, because it's going to come at you in a powerful way, because now you're not that force to be reckoned with. Do you hear what I'm saying? And that's the condition of many believers, is that they have these great callings and God has put His finger on them and He's shown them. And I'm going to speak about King David tonight, because that's what's on my heart in a big way. And you've got this calling on you and this destiny on you. And when you begin to walk in it and you begin to share your faith, all of a sudden you begin to get stronger and you begin to move in faith. You begin to share. And then all of a sudden people are uncomfortable with you because they've sat back on their haunches. And they don't really want to be where you are. And matter of fact, your light is beginning to shine the darkness that they've begun to let in. Now, God loves them. And that's where you got to make sure that you're not judgmental. God loves them. And He wants to restore them. And He wants to set that fire back in them. Because every one of us have been called to be a powerful force to be reckoned with as far as the enemy. When I turned 60 years old, things started coming to me that I want to make sure that the next 60 years of my life, that I really hassle the enemy for the next 60 years of my life. That I hassle him even more than I ever did in my life. That I don't shrink back and set back and get, you know, complacent. Now let me tell you this, that when that spiritual realm begins to intensify and tension and conflict begins to come into your life, fear and discouragement and dismay will set in. Because again, you're shutting down who you're called to be. If you're creative and God's called you, you cannot move away from it. You got to move toward it. David ran to the battle line. I'm going to talk about him. David ran to the battle line. This little guy runs to the battle line to take on Goliath, the story that everybody knows. But there's so much in that story. More than we could ever mine out, I think, in a lifetime. There's so much in that story. So we can't pull back. We got to move forward. The grace that is on you to do what God's called you to do, it almost seems like that grace begins to weaken when you begin to pull away from your calling and your destiny. And it dissipates as you pull back. Death happens to your purpose. And death happens to the reality of the power in which God called you. And I'm saying that not to be negative. I'm saying that as a reality because I believe that some of you in this room tonight, God wants you to engage once again what He's called you to do and not allow anything to take precedence over it. As we said at the beginning, as I said, the fact is that what you worship really dictates to your future. And so if the enemy can begin to distract you away from being a man or a woman of worship, then he can distract you from your purpose and your destiny. Because I said this on Sunday, and you need to write this one down, every one of us was created to worship. And if we forfeit worshiping, we forfeit the reason why we exist. We exist to worship God. And if that isn't happening day in and day out in our life, we need to be drawn to attention and say, okay, we've got to become worshipers. It's not about just being again, musical talent, because many people have musical talent. It's about allowing our hearts to connect with God. And that's what a worshiper does. His heart connects with the Lord. She does. And that's what we're called to be. And it's not so much the perfection of what we sound like. It's the intent of our heart. Some of us may never sing our way out of a paper bag, as they say. But the fact is, our heart is so engaged before God that it connects with God. And that's who we're called to be. The battle is over who you're going to worship. The battle is over the power that's within you to be released for the kingdom of God. The battle is to try to get you to be complacent or to get you to look at other things other than that own personal relationship with God. We love the fact that God is moving in this region. We've been praying, people all over this region have been praying for years for Revive Indiana. God's moving, evangelism's taking place, things are happening. But you got to understand that God has to be able to break the old wineskins of habit and religion. It has to be broken. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. And from generation to generation, God creates creativity within us so that that will break from one generation to another generation. And it will be released. It will be released. And God purposes that in us and in this region. And we need to know that. And we need to know that until He has His way individually and corporately, until we humble ourselves before the Lord, we're not going to see the great, great outpouring. There's movement. God is moving in the midst of the people. But I'm telling you that because of the creativity in us from one generation to the next, this generation has the power of God within them to ignite a harvest that will not cease and not stop until the return of Jesus. And that's what we're looking for. We're excited about the movement of God, but I won't rest till I see the presence of God moving in a powerful way everywhere that I go in the midst of whatever I do. And there's men and women in this place even now that God's calling you back to be that person of power and purpose and passion. When you worship, ask yourself the question, really, seriously, do you sense His presence? Do you wait long enough for God to come? Or do you gauge your worship upon how everyone responded? Or what kind of tune was being played? Our worship is from a position of our heart. And that's what David knew. And that's why David could stand against the giants. We're going to be standing against a lot of giants. And the only way we can stand against them is from a place of worship. Because if we don't worship, we forfeit the reason why we exist. We exist to worship Him. Now, when the Holy Spirit falls and people dance and things go, you know, and everybody's into it and laughing and giggling and having a good time, that's awesome. That's good. I love that. But know this, we need to enjoy the wine of the Spirit, but we also need to enjoy the bread of the Word. So that when we sit under the Word and the Word comes to us, that we can apply it in our lives in the midst of a joyful time of worship. You can't get caught so much up in the worship that you forsake the Word. And you can't get so caught up in just teaching that you forsake your God-given right to worship. You follow me? And that's what God's, in this generation, that's what's going to break open. It's the Word and the Spirit, and we're moving in it. And God's having His way with us. So I want to encourage you in that. That I want you to be released, to break out in the spiritual realm of what God's called you to do. You were created by God to be a worshiper. You need to ask the Lord, what is your song? Are you singing the song that He has given you to sing? A couple other things I want to say here before I go into the Scripture. A shift is happening in the spirit realm. A shift is happening in the spirit realm. In David and Goliath, you notice that the Philistines and Israel, they're having pretty much a shouting match back and forth. They're screaming at each other and you know, they're just shouting and sliming each other, but really nothing's really happening. Nobody's really going on and taking on Goliath, and the Philistine shouting and the Philistine mindset is beginning to creep into Israel, into their camp, because so far nobody has stood up with any kind of power and authority and challenged the Philistines to the degree that they needed to be challenged. That's who you are. You're called to challenge that Philistine mindset. The shouting conference. No giants were falling. People said, do you see how big this giant is? And even to David, they made sure, do you see how big this guy is? You can't hit him. He's too big. And David had the mentality, I can't miss him because he's that big. And he's standing against my God. You may not think I can hit him, but I can't miss him. Listen to what he's saying. And listen to what David is saying when we begin to read through the Scripture. Because you'll find out with David, it was a heart issue. It was his heart. It was an issue of his heart and his God. That his God was being put down. The giant was speaking about his God. And David was saying, I love him with all of my heart. How dare this giant speak this way against my God. Amen. A little bit more here. I'm going to have you turn to your, as we might want to say, iPads or mini pads to 1 Samuel chapter 17 or your Bibles. The kingdom of darkness is based on self-promotion. Listen to this. The kingdom of darkness is based on self-promotion. I want to say it again. The kingdom of darkness is based on self-promotion. That's why a lot of our churches can't get to where we need to be, because it's all about self-promotion instead of the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. The kingdom of God is based on self-denial. Self-denial. Unless you pick up your cross and deny yourself. That's what God is asking. There's a big, big time difference. And you know what? Unless the Spirit speaks this to us, unless we get this in the Word, we're going to get caught up in a mindset that is not of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is based on self-denial. David lived in passion. He lived in power and he lived in purpose. And he didn't try to exalt himself. He was willing, out of all the brothers, to be out there and take care of the sheep and be in the presence of the Lord and be a singer and sing to the Lord. And play and be a musician. It's huge. He had a passion for his God. And that passion gave David, you know what that passion did? It gave David, in a moment, a position. He didn't exalt himself to that position. But God, through his passion, through his heart, through not self-promotion, but self-denial, willing to do whatever God told him to do, it gave him a position that no man could give to him. God has a position for you that no man can give to you. Get it. Get it, grab it, hold on to it, and know that it's truth. He has a position for you that no man can give to you. Now, it may come through the Spirit working through men and women, but no one can give you that position like God can give you his position. And you need to go for it. The position was the lowest place at that moment. You know why? Because absolutely nobody in the whole army of Israel wanted to take on Goliath. So when David got into that position, what happened? He was at the lowest point. Nobody wanted that. Nobody wanted to stand against, and there was all kinds of accolades being given to the men. If you take this Goliath down, this is what's going to come your way. If you pull this guy down, man, you're going to get everything. You're going to get a wife. You're going to get this. You're going to get all these riches. You're going to get all this stuff. But no man at that point in that army would step up to that plate and do that. Not one except David. Only David. He took that position. And he wanted to take him down. It was the lowest place. And all the onlookers knew it. How do you think? That was a question. That was really, I was asking myself. How do you think? Do you think that way? Do you think that way? Do you really say, okay, whatever the task is, I want to do it. No matter no one sees me, if nobody knows about it, or if everybody knows about it. What do you think? How do you think? David didn't think like everybody else thought in that army. He didn't think like all the people that were in war and in the nation. He thought differently. How did he think that way? He thought that way because he spent time worshiping. He spent time with God. There is nothing that anybody can give you that is more precious than you spending time with God and being with the Lord. David released a sound, a low position that hadn't been heard, and he released a sound. And they heard it, and Goliath heard it. And that sound, you know what that sound was? It was that sling that he was getting, whoo, whoo. Whoo, whoo, whoo. Nobody had heard that. It was a sound that was released. And guess what? They tried to get him in to do what? They tried to put him in Saul's armor, right? They tried to put him in Saul's armor, but what happened? It didn't fit, right? Okay, so don't you let anybody try to put you in somebody else's destiny or somebody else's armor or somebody else's identity. And don't you look for your identity like somebody else. Don't do it. It's a trap. You are an individual called by God, and God will use you exactly who you are. And you have to wait and trust him and know that he'll do it. Saul said, man, you haven't even fought. You're a youth. How can you do this? And Goliath has been fighting since his youth with armor. And you're going to go out there with no armor? Because David was not about to take on the identity of Saul. David was taking on the identity that he learned out on the hillside worshiping God and knowing that God was with him. That's how we have to be. That's how we're going to make it through these days and the days ahead. That sound was released. The sound of the Spirit that lives inside of you needs to be released. It might be released through just a kind word to somebody or a cool cup of water, but it needs to be released. It's a cleansing sound. It's a cleansing rain. It's a power of God moving within you. That sound is within you. Don't let anything shut it down. One of these days, I'm believing that the sound of the Lord is going to be so loud, a release of the sound of heaven to a Davidic generation that is ready and had been handed down for such a time as this, from one generation to the next. And all the people that sung in church and everybody that's done, it's awesome that they have. And it's all been part of it. But there's going to be a sound that's going to begin to be released through this Davidic generation. There's going to be a dance that's going to be released through this generation. There's going to be a worship that's going to be released through this Davidic generation. And it's going to be different. And if they don't have, and we're all part of it. I'm going to knock my water over. We're all a part of it. Because when everybody crossed over on the Red Sea, every generation crossed together. No one had mud on their feet, the young, the middle-aged, and the old. They were all together. But there's a sound at the end that's going to usher things in a powerful way. And that's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm believing for. How about you? I am. And it's going to happen. It doesn't matter. It's going to happen. Okay. If you turn to, now this is a lot of scripture. 1 Samuel 17, starting with verse 20, and I'll point out just a few things. I want you to write this down if you write anything down, because this is a creative group, okay? This is a creative mindset of worshipers and singers. Creativity, this is what I want you to write down. Creativity is a process. Creativity is also a partnership. It's a process, but it's a partnership. And the partnership lies upon your partnership with God. Because you may have all the creativity in the world, but if you don't get into the partnership with God, then it's never going to be released to the degree it could be released. So creativity is a process. It happens through time, but it is also a partnership. In this hour, there's a sound, again, that's going to be released through worshipers. And that sound is going to be based on a heavenly reality, not an earthly position. Amen on that. I could amen that too. Shouldn't amen yourself. Can't help it. Release the sound of God. When you release the sound of God, you begin to release the desire of God's heart through you. And see, when he spoke everything into existence, it says in Genesis 1 that everything was null and void. There was absolutely nothing. There was nothing upon nothing upon nothing. And then the desire of his heart broke through, God's desire, and he created. He made light. He made everything. He didn't ask anybody's permission to do it. Then there was light. That same desire that he has within him, and this was taught not long ago on a Tuesday night, that Jesus loves you and the Father loves you as much as he loves his Son. This is the hour and this is that time that a release is going to happen and shift. And when I say that, I said this the other day and it drew a little bit of attention, and you got to think it through. But lawgivers don't shape our culture. Lawgivers don't shape our culture. Songwriters do. Artists do. Poets do. They shape our culture. They begin to sing about the need in our culture. Worshippers. And again, I'm pulling a few things from Sunday, but we live in an American Idol kind of generation where all people are judged by how good they sing or what they do. Okay? And I give everybody credit that does that and have dreams and they go for it and they have talent and they use it. I give people credit for that and using that. But the fact is, that's not God's idea and that's not God's reality. God's reality is he takes a heart right where it's at, a song right where it's at. It does not have to be over the top. If somebody says, you know, if you can see people moving based upon the talent of an individual and how they really respond to worship based upon the talent, I believe a lot of times that's wrong. They're getting their emotion caught up in the talent and not really the breaker anointing that might be on that person. There might be another person that doesn't sing anywhere near with that type of talent but has more of an anointing and the power to release God's presence. And we bypass it because we've gotten to a culture of American Idol of judging everybody that does everything. And guess what that is? That's a Greek and a Philistine mindset. It's not a spiritual mindset. Not at all. We're to encourage each other in what God's called us to do. Okay, let's look at the scripture real quick. 1 Samuel 17, you've read this probably a lot of times, starting with verse 20. And I have a friend that points out this verse. It's a sign and a wonder. So David arose early in the morning. He says this all the time. He says that that's a big miracle because David was a musician and he got up early in the morning. That's what he always says. So I kind of like that. And he left the flock with the keeper and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. That was a shouting match. It was going back and forth. All they were doing was shouting at each other. Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Verse 22, then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper, and he ran. He didn't slow down. He ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. He just ran up there and wanted to greet his brother. What's going on? Okay, it's real simple. Verse 23, as he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines. And he spoke these same words, and David, he heard him for the first time. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. So fear had encamped. Nobody was walking in the fullness of their purpose. Nobody was walking in their destiny. Matter of fact, every time this guy showed up, fear just caused them to move and to run the opposite way. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he's coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will..." Now here, look at here. This is the offer. And they're trying to get somebody to do this, take this guy out, because they're all scared. "And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, 'What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel. See, his thing was the reproach. This man is defying my God. Our nation is defying our God right now in a powerful way. Who's going to stand up against that? Who's going to stand up against it? Who's going to be willing to say, listen, I'm sorry what you may think or what you may believe, but this is my principles. This is what I believe. I believe in the holy word of God, and this is where I stand. All of us have to begin to stand for that. But what do? Sometimes we shrink back when the popular political position gives us a little bit more. You know what? You keep shrinking back. You keep shrinking back and letting a little bit more of the world, a little bit more stuff come in, then before long, you're consumed. And before long, and I love what David Raymer says. He says, do you think that at the hour when all the shaking and things start, that if you haven't cultivated a life of intimacy and bought oil from God and you know God, that all of a sudden you're going to be strong enough to stand in that day because of your faith? I don't think so. It's a progression. And look at David. He's your example. It was a progression on the hillside. Do you think all of a sudden he just decided he was going to follow God right when he took the baggage there and brought food for his brothers and deal with that guy? No. This happened in a progressive way of creativity in him that God moved him. For David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, what will be done to the Philistine? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? You can see David's heart issue here. He wasn't saying, what am I going to get? He's like, how dare him? The people answered him in accord with this word, saying, thus it will be done for the man who kills him. Now Eli, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eli's anger burned against David, and he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle. Check out those words. Guess what that was? That was a man in the Israel army that now had been slimed with the shouting match from the Philistines over and over. And now he had adopted the same rhetoric that he was hearing all the time. And he spoke it on his younger brother. He slimed him immediately because he was in the midst of that culture, in the midst of that ways. But David said, what have I done now? You hear it? What have I done now? Was it not just a question? Get it out. Then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing, and the people answered the same thing as before. When the words which David spoke were heard in verse 31, they were told them to Saul, and he sent for him. He sent for him. Saul heard this. Okay, it was a sound. He heard something different. He wasn't hearing the same old stuff being said about where they were at in the battle. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth while he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, and I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. Verse 37, and David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and may the Lord be with you. Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put on a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with armor. David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And David took them off. Again, it's the point that I was making is it represents, you know, someone else's. He was tempted in someone else's assignment or someone else's destiny. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. Verse 40, he took his stick in his hand and chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag where he had even in his pouch and his sling. And his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. Verse 43, the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you would come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David. He cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the fields." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Verse 47, almost done, hang in there. "And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Verse 48, "Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly." I love always that. He ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. There was no fear in him. No second guessing. He knew. He ran to meet him. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead. It sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Verse 50. "Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand." What was there in David's heart is what caused that giant to fall. And that's the biggest thing with us. If our hearts will be made right with God, if we can get to a place that we're not looking to be promoted, we're looking just to serve God and love God, then God can move us and use us in great ways. And that's how it's done. That's how it's done. That's how it will be. I want to share, just in closing, something with you real quick, if I can find it. Yeah, here it is. How many of you know that from generation to generation, God is creative enough to find new ways of breaking old religious ideas and old religious boxes? Because his desire is from generation to generation to create a sound in the heart of his people for every generation and for every purpose. That's what I'm banking on. That's what I'm believing is a biblical reality. It began with a sound when God spoke things into existence. David was used in a powerful way, and when that sling started being heard, it definitely got Goliath's attention. And that sound is what brought down the giant. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for my own life, for my sons. Because God is creative. When God spoke the universe into existence, the word universe, una, was spoken into existence. Una means one, and verse means a song. Out of one song of God, he exactly spoke and sung everything into creation. And he's capable of doing whatever he needs to do right now in this time. But he needs us to have faith and believe and to stand with him. And to not sell out to the ways of this world. We have a creator who created you to be creative. And I want to encourage you in that in this day. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and stand. I hope that was, I know that that was for somebody in here. I don't know. Hopefully it was for all of you. I want to close with just a couple words. The tabernacle of David. For 33 years it stood. And the presence of God was in the midst of the tabernacle of a song Maybe it wasn't several songs. Maybe it was just one song for 33 years. We don't know. But for 33 years, while that song was being sung, Israel was never, ever penetrated in that 33 years. David reigned for 40. But for the 33 years, there was never infiltration into Israel because a song was being released and being played. And God was in the midst of their presence. His presence was there. A place set aside for God to be. I believe that that's exactly what's going to happen now. Songs are going to be released. A creative generation is going to move. And we're not going to be invaded because we're going to be those who live in His presence and our desires for His presence. I believe that with all my heart. Because there was a generation during that time of David, a people that allowed their creativity to be released. And they allowed themselves to be what they were called to do and to be by God. They found no other identity in anything else. So Lord, I come before You even tonight as we gather in this room on a Tuesday night. And for every one of us in this room, I'm asking God that You would raise us up as a generation, as a group of people. That You said, Lord, that the latter rain would be greater than the former. That You're going to do something massive. We thank You for what You're doing, Lord. And Lord, even the outpouring of the Holy Spirit isn't so much for our gift to be noticed, but that outpouring of the Holy Spirit is so that we can even engage greater in intimacy with You. The outpouring is for intimacy more than anything else. So God, I ask that You would help us, that Your sound would begin to arise within us. That right now, God, that Your word would not be a famine in our life, but Your word would be something that we would live by each and every day. I ask that the sound of the Lord would be heard, that the song of the Lord would emanate through us, that we would be a people that would be connected to His heart through intimacy, that we would be a generation that will carry the sound of God's desire, moving into a great harvest. So Holy Spirit, even now, fall on us. If you're willing to lay everything down, I want you to do that right now in prayer. Just lay everything down, anything that you've put before Him. Yes, God, we're asking for You to come. An acceleration of goodness in our lives. And that people won't be able to resist who You are because we've said yes. Lord, I ask that You help us not to keep trying to think everything out and figure everything out, but Lord, that we would be a people that would do the unthinkable. That we would present You, we would present Your presence everywhere we go. We know that that happens from an encounter. So God, help us to encounter You more in the morning, in the night seasons, when we gather together. We love You. Thank You, God. Holy Spirit, fall on us and strengthen us. May these words go deep within us tonight. Whether there's many or few, God, may Your voice be heard. May the sound of Your voice be heard. Come, Lord. I ask for creativity to be released in this room, Lord. I ask for mindsets, old mindsets, Philistine thinking, to stop and cease. I ask that everyone in this room, whether they have the fullness of their song, part of their song, or if they don't even know their song yet, I ask that right now that these folks in this room, part of this generation, that they're going to get their song back. Or it's going to be revealed to them in the days ahead. And that they would carry Your glory. Because every one of them was created for worship. Come, Lord. Holy Spirit, have Your way. Yes, Lord. Just ask Him. Ask the Holy Spirit to move. Yes, Lord. Come, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, God. Different sound. Release your sound in your children, Father. Release your sound. Let's go. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. That everyone in this room would live in the place of overcoming, would run to the battlefield. Give everyone in this room the heart of David, I pray. Pray in Jesus' name. In the power of Yeshua. In the power of Yahweh, the Father. May the Holy Spirit give us hearts that were after God. That we would be a people. A people that's after your heart to carry your presence. Thank you for tonight, God. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.